The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, greetings. And this morning is the last of the five talks on Anukampa, the concept that the Buddha used and discussed many times, that I'm translating as care. Sometimes translated as compassion, but I'm suggesting that compassion, as wonderful and important as it is, that it has a narrower domain, narrower range of meaning than the word care. And that care, in addition to caring for people's suffering, also cares for their welfare. And so people who are not particularly suffering, we just still caring for them, a kind of a general benevolence, maybe, for all beings in all circumstances. And I'm suggesting that this word care is simpler than attitudes, emotions like loving kindness and compassion. It requires less concepts, less ideas, than what often is associated with compassion and love. That love and compassion as feelings are not always accessible to us, because we don't necessarily love, or we have, you know, automatic goodwill to everyone we meet, or automatic, you know, compassion for some people. It's maybe a little bit, you know, we can certainly work for that and try to develop a universal kindness and universal compassion. But it's easier to do so if we recognize that underneath those, or as a foundation, is a kind of tenderness of heart, a kind of sensitivity of heart, a resonance of heart, that of the care of anukampa. One of the reasons, as I've been saying, it's been, I think, very useful to look at this word and distinguish it from compassion, is that the Buddha used the word anukampa repeatedly as the motivation, as the prompt for the actions in the world of how we live, caring for the welfare and happiness of others. And the word karuna, often translated as compassion, the Buddha never used that word as a motivation or an action or as a source from which to, you know, actually care and support and help people in the world. Very different than how the word came to be understood later in Buddhism. But in this early tradition, there was this anukampa, a word which I think kind of got forgotten or lost or got subsumed underneath the word karuna over the centuries. And by bringing forth this word anukampa, I found it very helpful for me to recognize something very simple that maybe is a foundation for these things. I'm interested in talking about this and exploring it because for a long time I've been interested in the ethics of freedom, the ethics of awakening. What would that look like? What is the ethics of awakened people, of liberated people? What's the ethics of mindfulness when mindfulness becomes strong? And to answer that question, it might be best to drop the word ethics, because it has a lot of associations in English that might not be really very good fit for Buddhism or teachings of early Buddhism, which is my reference point. The closest word in the Buddha's language for the English word ethics is probably the word kusala, which is usually translated into English as either wholesomeness or skillfulness. And so the question in early Buddhism is what we're doing skillful? Is it wholesome? And that gives you a little different flavor than asking, is it ethical? And then many people will say that, well, the word for ethics in Buddhism is sila. And it's not quite right that. It's okay to say that's what it is. But again, if you go back to early Buddhist texts and see how the word sila is used, the word really means a behavior, what we do, so much so that Bhikkhu Bodhi, in his latest translations of the Pali Suttas, now translates sila as virtuous behavior, or virtuous conduct, where the emphasis is the conduct and what we do. That action is important. And action has to do with how we live in the world and how we interact with people. And so another way of talking about the ethics of awakening, the ethics of non-attachment, is to call it the conduct of awakening, the conduct of non-attachment. What conduct comes? And what conduct comes out of it that is skillful, that is wholesome, part of the topic that I'm interested in. And certainly one of the inspiring statements of the Buddha with the word anukampa really speaks to the actions that come out of awakening is what the Buddha said to the first 60 people who were his students, practiced under him, who became fully awakened. So there were 60 of them. I guess they were traveling together. And they'd done what had to be done. They were liberated and free. And the Buddha made this statement to them. Travel forth for the welfare of many, for the happiness of many, out of care for the world, for the good, the welfare, and happiness of gods and humans. So here, the Buddha's instruction to people who are awakened for what kind of conduct to have, what kind of behavior to be engaged in, is to go forth in order to support and promote the welfare and happiness and the good of others. So here, intimately connected to awakening, is this idea of go forth out of care. And so this anukampa, care, then is really the source for enlightened behavior in the world. And we see that in the references to the Buddha, where he teaches out of care, out of anukampa. He visits people out of anukampa. The Buddha, that's kind of characterizes how the Buddha engages in his world and caring for the world. And all his teaching, maybe all his teaching was inspired by anukampa, care. There's a fascinating story of a doctor named Jivaka who is talking to the Buddha. And Jivaka says that the great god Brahma, the great kind of overlord of the gods, he's characterized, or he lives in with mind of the divine abodes of loving metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. So these four flavors of a certain kind of love that characterizes Brahma. So the Jivaka says, I've heard that the god Brahma is characterized or has these states. Now that I see the Buddha, I see that you abide in loving kindness. You abide in compassion. You abide in sympathetic joy. You abide in equanimity. And the Buddha's response is very unusual, maybe, in my mind. He says, no, don't say that. however, if what you mean is that if I abide without the greed, hatred, and delusion that gives rise to ill will, gives rise to cruelty, gives rise to displeasure, and gives rise to repulsion, then I allow you to say that I abide in loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. In other words, the Buddha is reluctant to have himself characterized as living or being, abiding in these four Brahmaviharas. But he is willing to say that he abides without greed, hate, and delusion that gives rise to the interpersonal behavior that is characterized by ill will or hatred, cruelty, displeasure, and repulsion to what's going on there. And it's almost as if there's no greed, hate, and delusion, then there is love. Then there is something that looks like care, compassion, and all these things. So what is that? You know, the absence of certain things then looks like something else. So I want to give a small example of some of you have heard that if there's two people who look from the outside as if they're patient, one person is patient, and they're both in a very difficult situation, very challenging, trying situation. And they both look like they're very patient in this difficult circumstance. However, on the inside of the first person, all the person's buttons are pushed. It's really stressful, really challenging. They're constantly inside getting angry, irritated, upset, discouraged. And for that person, it's a lot of work to keep breathing, to relax, to be mindful of what's going on, to kind of stay connected to oneself so they don't get caught in the reactivity. And they have very strong mindfulness, and so with all the work of paying attention, they are able to stay physically, actively, or visibly non-reactive. It looks like they're, you know, physically or behaviorally equanimous. And others say, oh, look, that person's equanimous. The second person looks just as patient. However, the second person has no buttons to be pushed inside. The second person is not... doesn't get irritated, doesn't get angry, doesn't get upset or discouraged. There's no attachments or no kind of preoccupation or concerns or worries that are being triggered. And so for that person, patience is not something they have to do. They're not working at being patient. It's an absence of anger and irritation and things like that that makes them seem like they're patient. So in that sense, when Buddha replies to Jivaka, I have the apps. If you can refer to me as being free of greed, having abandoned greed, hate, and delusion. In that sense, you can say that I have loving kindness and compassion. And and so it isn't like compassion and loving kindness are something to be done. The Buddha is working on it. It's somehow, in that absence, it looks like what we would call loving kindness and compassion. If Jivaka had asked, does the Buddha abide in anukampa? I suspect the Buddha said, yes, that I allow you. That I abide in. And because the Buddha really felt that someone who abides in anukampa, they... have abandoned ill will and hatred. It is said that to dwell in anukampa for all beings, one abstains from harming them. When one has abandoned ill will and hatred, one abides with anukampa for the world. So the anukampa is the primary for the Buddha. Anukampa, what's there, that he's willing to say is there when there's no greed, hate, and delusion. To care, this fundamental underlying situation of care. And so I'd like to end with this idea that a few things. One is that this care that seems to be there with the absence of greed, hate, and delusion is not an obligation. Sometimes when I hear teachings about compassion, it feels like I'm supposed to be this way and I need to cultivate it and I have to be in the world in a compassionate way. I think compassion is fantastic, but the idea that it's obligatory feels a little bit oppressive, a little bit like, oh, really? I'm not good enough? I have to do this now? But the idea of that care is found through letting go of greed, hatred, and delusion. The idea of awakening this deeper sensitivity, natural sensitivity, means that rather than being concerned with ethical responsibility for us who practice, we can be concerned with ethical responsivity. That we were concerned with we want to discover that place of ethical responsivity, of skillful, the place where we can respond skillfully, wholesomely to the world. And rather than discovering what our responsibilities are, we discover our capacity for responsivity. And my hope that as we discover this, that translates, that is applied to actively learning about the world enough to see, understand where it is that our lives cause harm, cause damage to the world, where in our lives we can benefit and support the world, that responsivity really travels out through the circles of care out into the world. And so our circles of care become all-inclusive, but in this place where we do not succumb to greed, hatred, and delusion. So, anukampa, care. I hope that this has given you some food for thought and a new kind of concept and idea to explore in yourself, and maybe it has some value for you and interest, I hope so. So in a couple of minutes, I'm happy to take a few minutes of questions, and those of you who want to stay. And I'll say as closing words that I'll continue with these Monday morning sittings, for the next 4 weeks, the theme for the talks will be the Four Noble Truths. Now that we've done beauty last week and care this week, maybe we're ready in a different way than we would have otherwise been to look at this very important teaching and practice and insight of the Four Noble Truths. And next week, so we'll do 1 week on each truth and go through the week kind of going into it deeper and deeper, each truth, I hope. And maybe now after beauty for a week and care for a week, we'll be ready next week to look at and explore the topic of suffering. So, and thank you very much for being part of this. And for those of you who are in the audio Dharma world who are listening to this, thank you very much for being interested in following this series and that I had a chance to share something that was important for me. And thank you. So, can I teach about can I speak about the Brahma Viharas? Thank you, Sandy. Maybe that can be another theme for these early morning sittings. I can do maybe 1 week on each at some point. That would be nice. And also, IMC has this happy hour that right now they're doing it this coming week, I think, every afternoon. So at happy hours where they do the Brahma Viharas and Metta and so forth. Can you also say that care is a direct liberation practice because it lessens greed, hate, and delusion? Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful thing. So if you want to be free of greed, hate, and delusion, go out there and try to care for people and care for the world, but do so paying careful attention to what's going on inside of yourself so that you can notice what gets in the way of the care. You can notice how greed, hate, and delusion operate. And there's a whole different perspective on attachment and clinging that can come in service than if we just sit and meditate. And it's very, very valuable and important, and it's like its own path itself. So, it's very kind of heartwarming to see all the thank you and the good mornings. Very, very nice. And so Jeannie, hi. Can you also say that care is a direct liberation practice because it lessens greed, hate? Oh, that's the one I just answered. Thank you for the question. It seems a little hard to follow this chat box a little bit, so if you'll be patient a little bit to... LH from... stay there, chat group. I so appreciate you, LH, that you're here almost every day. And if I understood correctly, you believe anukampa is a better foundation for ethics rather than compassion. Could you explain more about the relationship between mindfulness, and ethics? Yeah. Well, is it better than compassion? It's a little tender question to give, since compassion is really a foundation to many people's religious life, personal life, and, you know, the foundation of what they do. I can say that for myself, that it's also true that for decades, you know, I felt or believed that compassion was at the heart of my life, my ethical life. And but what I've over the last years have kind of discovered for myself, and especially when I discovered this word anukampa as care, is that I had subsumed, I had held together, combined, lumped together, two different feelings or attitudes that existed within me, and saw them as being the same, saw them both as compassion. Just as some translators translate anukampa and karuna as compassion, I had no language to distinguish between a very simple, quiet, tender, now I call it care, that has no object, that has no, in and of itself, like sitting quietly by myself and meditating, that it just exists there as a caringness without an object. And I called it compassion without an object. That's what I saw it as. And then there was other kinds of compassion where I encountered suffering in the world and clearly wanted to, felt sympathy, felt empathy, and wanted to alleviate and wish that to go away, that suffering. But now I've separated out these two. And the simpler, almost non-conceptual place of care, I call care. And one of the ways I see this is that because compassion is, it depends how you define it, compassion is the a concern for the suffering of others and wanting to have that suffering to help or to go away, it is a little bit more conceptual. It's a little bit more involves the kind of self and other in some kind of simple way. Whereas something that is not conceptual, does involve self and other, I used to call that care, that tenderness, as compassion, because I had no distinction between them. But now I think I'd like to go along with the distinction that the Buddha does and maybe call this care. Whether this is a little bit of a semantic issue, so we have to be a little bit careful not to treat this as kind of some absolute difference between people. And LH, I don't know if, I guess you're from Iran, and I think you said, and if that means that you're Iranian, maybe you're interested. I had some discussion with an Iranian Dharma teacher about maybe doing an intro class online in Farsi. So if you stay, if that actually happens, maybe you're interested in that, and we'll do it through IMC, and it'll be on the website. So this is wonderful to have all this. I just love seeing you and the questions, and so I want to thank you very much, and I look forward to more opportunities to be this way, and thank you very, very much.